Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I take my text today from Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. My subject for a little while today is simply, when hell on earth is more than a saying. When hell on earth is more than a saying. My friend, it is evident that we are living in calamitous times. We are living in a world with a pandemic unlike anything we've ever seen, because we've never been able to pay attention to something like this on a global map. All of the red exploding circles of the countries around the globe that have a high infection rate, and we are seeing death rates explode here and there. Certain areas, even of the United States, that become hot spots, hospitals in certain areas that still are getting overrun from time to time. We are living in an hour of chaos. We are living in a time of tyrannical and dark forces that are at work. We are living in the greatest hour of treachery and deception. So many things that are being unleashed on this last day society. And that's why the Word of God tells us in Jeremiah 30, "These are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And so, my friend, while we are looking at all of the conflicting and terrifying things that seem to be taking place in our generation, we must understand that at the very best, we are in the beginning of sorrows, but there is a time of Jacob's trouble. Now you think about it. All that is happening in our world right now is taking place with the Church of the Living God still on this planet, still praying, still standing in the gap, still sending up travail and intercession to the throne of God, still preaching deliverance to the captive, still being a city set on a hill and a light of hope for the hurting and the broken and those that are living through days of horror. But what's it going to be like if a pre-tribulation rapture is true? What's it going to be like when the trumpet of the Lord sounds and the Church of the Living God, that has kept back some of the forces of darkness, is no longer here to be a barricade to blasphemy? It's no longer here to be a hindrance to the forces of hell. What is going to be the trouble in that generation? Daniel 12:1 said, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince withstandeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one shall be found written in the book. So Daniel is prophesying of a time that's coming toward the end of the age, a time of trouble. It's a time of agony. It's a time of brokenness. It's a time of distress. It's a time of mental anguish. It's a time of emotional terror. It's a time of torment. But we know that the Word of God contrasts. It conflicts against that. It opposes it. Because perfect love casteth out all fear. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But what happens to a generation that becomes godless, that rejects the Redeemer, that walks away from any boundaries or demarcations of truth or apostolic doctrine? Matthew 24:21 said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So we are reading of these prophetic passages talking about poisonous hours to come, when the venom of mankind and the venom of demons and the darkness begin to come together, an amalgamation of evil to be unleashed upon the last generations of the earth, upon the end of days, a tribulation, a time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, that is going to be unlike anything that we have ever seen in the world. And so when we are reading about these four horsemen of the apocalypse, we come to this fourth one. We see this pale horse introduced when this fourth seal is opened, and it is literally a pale green. Some interpretations have it like the vegetation. Some have it like poison or the green or pale color of death. John stated that the writer's name was Death, and that hell followed close behind him. Herein, my friend, is the aftermath of war and famine and death. With war and famine, people fall prey to plagues and the wild beasts of the earth. And the startling fact of this passage of prophecy is that a fourth of the earth, approximately a billion people by today's population figures, will be killed by these means. As one writer said, when you look at these four judgments, you see the sword and the famine and the pestilence and the wild beasts. The famine, the consequence of the sword, pestilence, that of famine, and beasts multiplying by the consequence of depopulation. We look back over time and we think about some of the tragic moments in history that are certainly startling, and yet prophecies of the Word of God tell us they don't compare to what's coming on the last generation. A generation of wickedness without the Word. A generation that chooses worldliness over the principles of truth. A generation that would rather experiment with antichrist and false prophet treacheries than it would to stand on the commandments and the foundation of the Word of God. And so you can look back and see even certain endemics like the dengue fever, how that we are living in a time when it is in 110 countries annually. 500 million people a year are infected by this, with more than 20,000 deaths. You can see that smallpox, especially over the last 300 or 400 years, even despite a vaccine, it has been responsible for over 500 million deaths since the 1800s alone. Something like even the measles, and you would probably be shocked to know that between 1855 and 2005, the measles was responsible for 200 million deaths worldwide. Yes, the Bible tells us that the pale horse, the pestilence, is coming, but hell followed with him. It is that which speaks of the cemetery, the graveyard, 6 feet under, the inability to have enough places to bury the dead. So it is the description in Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the war of Gog and Magog. When you see the dead pile up, when God brings a judgment against those nations that come in a wicked alliance to spoil Israel and to put Israel in bondage and oppression, God himself will fight for Israel. And the Bible tells us it will take 7 months for them to bury the dead because there'll be so many. That, my friend, is a true picture of hell on earth. Hades being more than just a saying, more than just a flippant proverb off the tongue, more than just a saying, well, this is what I'm going through with my suffering. No, friend, there is no comparable suffering to that which will be seen in the time of Jacob's trouble. You don't want to be here. You want to get your heart right with God. You want to have an Acts 2:38 experience. You want to repent of your sins right now. Because the Bible says that now is the time of salvation. Don't be left behind with the terrifying carnage to come and the tormenting spirits of fear and anxiety to come when great tribulation comes upon the earth and when hell will truly be on earth. It will be the real, the visible, the authentic, graphic reality of hell on earth. Hell. Hades will be traveling from nation to nation. There won't be enough graves to bury the dead. Think about what we've witnessed in certain cities where they had tractor trailers backed up to hospitals to load the dead and then trying to find adequate space to bury the bodies. Even in New York City, they were talking about turning portions of Central Park into a cemetery. Folks, that's just a glimpse of what is to come in a time of tribulation. It's not just meant to be words of gloom and doom, but of observance, looking at the current events, things that are going on around us right now, the prophetic reality of the beginning of sorrows, pestilence and war and famine and deception riding together. Their thunderous hooves will pound the soils of a global society. And then, of course, we return to some of the terrible diseases on this planet. Yellow fever, some 200,000 cases worldwide annually, killing around 30,000 people. You have Ebola virus, which really is the most frightening, probably, of all the viruses or diseases in the world, but at this particular time, it's not airborne. It's not as contagious, but certainly something like Ebola, which has a 15 to 20% fatality rate, if that were to become a pandemic, could get in to the hundreds of millions. And of course, there's hepatitis, there's HIV. I mean, you could go on and on with the list of pestilences. Now we're talking about a possible resurgence of the Zika virus. And then we certainly can't overlook the coronaviruses. I mean, that which goes back to 1918, the Spanish flu, which killed anywhere from 50 to 100 million, and to where we are right now with this coronavirus, this COVID-19. And what other strains, you know, the flu viruses and other things that may come on the scene that we don't know about. Our world is at the brink of eternity. This generation is the generation of sorrow and tribulation. And yet someday, my friend, we will trade all the sorrows for the celebrations of a new Jerusalem. We will trade tribulation for the ultimate triumph when the trumpet of the Lord sounds. And so you need to make your calling and election sure. The gospel of Jesus Christ is just that. It's good news. I mean, you think about this. All the negative reports, all the pessimistic analysis, all of the bad news that accumulates. I mean, you read it on social network. You listen to it on the news. You listen to it on the radio. I mean, it's just a constant barrage of negativity, and yet the gospel is good news. Why? Because Jesus conquered every contentious thing of sin, every conflict of darkness, every cause of evil, every sickness and disease and iniquity and lawlessness. He conquered every bit of that on the old rugged cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. It's not a fairy tale. He rose from the dead on the third day. That's the fact. That's the hope of every soul that has ever been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so, my friend, in the middle of all this mess, turn to the Messiah. In the middle of all of the tragedies and the accumulating death and things that are going on around us, turn from the chaos to the old rugged cross. Lay down the burdens and the load of sin, the iniquities that you can no longer bear. Now you think about this. Hell follows pestilence. Hell, the grave, Hades, that which is to be buried. But it's like it comes up out of the earth. So it's somewhat not only bringing present trouble, but it's like it's digging up the bones of the past. It's like a resurgent of those things over time, an accumulation of all the bad things that have ever happened now coming together in a convergence of evil and wickedness and destruction and death. And that could even apply to you, because you have things in your past. You have skeletons in your closet. You have things that you've tried to bury. But my friend, there's no greater burial than to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, to be buried by baptism into his death. Because when you put it in that graveyard of grace, when you put it in that cemetery of salvation, so to speak, it doesn't come back. It's washed away by the blood of the Lamb. In fact, the Lord said in the Old Testament, I'll put their sins as far as the east is from the west. I mean, what an incredible maxim of grace to tell us in this hour. And so with all of the grave circumstances pulling humanity to the nether regions of hopelessness, with all the death-inducing events increasing nation by nation and conflict by conflict, with all the natural disasters, supernatural deceptions, politically terminal decisions, and all the terrorist destructions and all the virus decimations, it's easy to get buried in grief and heartache and not want to look at anything, listen to anything, not want to hear not one more report. You could begin to envision a generation wanting to run to the mountains and cry for the rocks to fall on them. But I tell you today, friend, instead of waiting for that moment of terror, let the rock Christ Jesus be the firm foundation beneath your feet. Get an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ that will secure you against the day of judgment. Get your name written in the Lamb's book of life. For in Jesus hell has no power. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Death and hell, one kills and the other collects. The sickle of darkness thirsts for the blood of the nations, but the blood of Jesus can deliver you from death and the fear of death. Isaiah 5:14 said, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. It makes me think of the scripture where Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were drinking, they were eating, they were giving in marriage, they were going about their daily routines without any thought of the judgment to come, until the Bible said the flood came and swept them away. There's coming an hour of limitless lamentation. Multitudes, according to Isaiah, will wander into the pit. Those who took pleasure in unrighteousness will be swallowed up. The expansion project of the devil will seem immeasurable too much darkness, too much death, too much destruction. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus gives the right kind of deliverance from all of these things. He can deliver your emotion from anguish. He can deliver your life from the everlasting death that is to come. He can give you inspiration where there has only been toil and sorrow and despair and depression. He can give you victory over the things of your past. He will bring you out of darkness into marvelous light, because that's the promise of his peace that passes understanding. There's a lot of things happening in our world that we cannot comprehend, but he gives us a peace that passes that earthly comprehension. It finds its lodging place in the everlasting word of the Lord. Right now, my friend, people are about to endure the fury of hell because the wrath of Satan is coming down. Revelation 12 reveals to us that Satan knows of his short time, and so the wrath that is coming, the fury of hell. But after the fury of hell comes the fire of hell, and in that is the endless future of hell. So my friend, don't be a victim of the coming hell on earth as described in Revelation 6, literally coming, not just some figurative speech. You can be an overcomer by the blood of Jesus. You can be an overcomer by the testimony of Jesus that can give you everlasting life. So my friend, avoid these riders. Avoid that rider on the white horse that comes in Antichrist power and deception. Avoid that red horse that comes with war and destruction. Avoid that black horse that comes with famine and dearth in the land. And especially avoid that death rider whose close companion is hell. Instead, look for the Redeemer, because our blessed hope is coming. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, is what the Word of God says. That rider on the white horse of Revelation 19, because he comes to destroy the destroyers, to bury death and imprison the grave. He comes to set up a kingdom that will never cease. So get ready for the coming of the Lord. Do it today. Take your sins to the old rugged cross. Get your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And know that you can have the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. You can receive the mighty rivers of joy that will come out of your belly. You can receive righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. You can make your reservations assured for that day when the new Jerusalem that God is putting together. For Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now think about that in John 14. These writers of Revelation 6 are preparing a place for you. It's death, it's destruction, it's hell, it's pestilence, it's famine, it's war, it's the ravages of worldliness. But Jesus said, I've got a better place that I'm preparing for you. It's a place in the New Jerusalem. It's a place in heaven. It's a place just beyond that pearly gate. It's real, my friend. The foundations that have the 12 apostles of the Lamb's names inscribed on the foundation of it, a place where the Lamb is going to be the light of that city, and flowing out of the throne of God will be the healing of the nations. There's a tree there for the healing of the nations. And my friend, we will enjoy the fruits of everlasting rejoicing and salvation forever and ever. So my friend, make the right choice today. Turn your heart toward God. Do it now. Do it before it's too late. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration. And in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.